Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الكريم والحمد لله رب العالمين حمد الشاكرين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله جزاك الله خيرا والموقعين برد سليمان and صلاح الدين and إمران and all the كنت وفاهم and Allah عز وجل bless you and enable you to continue doing this work. I know very well that this work of the Dawah, propagation of Islam, and talking about Islam, and bringing the issues of Islam to the forefront requires dedication, commitment, and continuation. And I do stand witness that Brother Sulaiman has been one of those who continued the work and the momentum despite all the obstacles that were in the path from the beginning, I think 1971. That's when the brothers started their first MSA, Muslim Student Association, at the time when Islam was very scarce, was very rare in this country, in the West. There were a few people who started this, and then the momentum of Islam is very large. There are all types of diversity groups, but nevertheless, alhamdulillah, today, you find talks, lectures, discussions about Islam, about various topics of Islam. Only last night, Brother Sulaiman and myself and some of the brothers here, we attended this workshop or seminar on the economic system in Islam and the revolution going on in Syria. And there are so many other incidents and events that are going all over the world. And that brings me to the topic today about the knowledge, the ilm. It is at once it's a privilege. It's a privilege to have knowledge about Islam. It is a privilege, and there are some many hadiths and ayat on this issue, and I will touch on them. But at the same time, it's a burden. It's a burden. Once you know, you have certain knowledge about Islam, that can haunt you. It becomes a burden, because if you don't live up to the knowledge that you have, you will be under great responsibility from Allah Azza wa Jal. So at once, it is of great importance to have knowledge and to have certain information and concepts about Islam. This is you cannot underestimate the value of having knowledge, but at the same time, once you have the knowledge, you can no longer have the privilege of saying, I don't know. And you can have no more the privilege or the right not to take a stand. You may not take a stand simply, you may not know the answer. You may not the position what you want to do. But if you know, once you have the information, once you have the knowledge, you have no more excuses. You cannot be excused once you have the knowledge. In fact, that brings me to this issue. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He introduced Islam to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when He introduced the wahi to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when He first started this whole issue of Islam, He started with the issue with the facility of knowledge by saying, Iqra, read. And we know that reading is the most important, tool in order to acquire knowledge. In order to acquire knowledge, you have to read. You cannot simply acquire knowledge by simply thinking about things without getting information, because you need information to start thinking. You need that type of knowledge. So Allah Azza wa Jal started this whole deen with Iqra. Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, He continued to emphasize the facilities of knowledge and the tools of knowledge when He says, alladhi 'allama bil qalam. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم Allah Azza wa Jal taught the people how to use the pen. So the pen, which is writing and documentation and reading what is being written, those are the facilities of knowledge. If you want the knowledge to be documented, you have to write it somewhere, otherwise it will be lost. And once it's written in a book or in any type of document, people are going to read that. So reading and writing, those are the facilities of knowledge. And Allah Azza wa Jal introduced that in the Quran, and He introduced Islam. He introduced Islam, the mission of Islam, to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by starting with this issue of read and then write. Reading Iqra and then Al-Qalam. And in the next surah, most of the Mufassirin, they say Surah Al-Qalam was the second, or in other narrations, it's number three. So either the second or the third surah, which was revealed by Allah Azza wa Jal, it is named Al-Qalam. It's called Al-Qalam, the pen. Noon wal-qalam wa ma yasturun. Allah Azza wa Jal makes this oath, this word, by the noon, which is a character, part of the characters of the language, noon, emphasizing that those are the, what makes up the knowledge, are those letters and the characters, the A, B, C, D, you make out of them words and sentences, it becomes knowledge. Noon wal-qalam wa ma yasturun. Allah makes this swear, and then the rest of the story is not my subject today, but that is something very important. Now also, when Allah Azza wa Jal first introduced humans to this world, this is the introduction of Islam, the introduction of Islam to the world through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and through the wahi, came through this facility of knowledge. Iqra, read and write, and al-qalam. And when Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam, that's the introduction of humans to the world, not only Islam, but introducing the person, the first human to the world. When He introduced that man, that human, to the angels, He told them, I am going to create someone in this earth. And then He characterized this one. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. I am going to introduce a khalifa, someone who is going to live in this world and to maintain the world and to take care of this earth. Then the angels, they had this question about this person. Who is it that you are creating? Allah Azza wa Jal told the angels, this is a creature who is able to learn. Who is able to learn. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. He taught Adam something, and Adam was able to learn. He was able to acquire the knowledge. And he challenged the angels, Allah Azza wa Jal challenged the angels, telling them that you do not have this facility. You cannot acquire knowledge, but this guy, he can. This Adam, he can. قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئُهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. Now Adam, please, tell them the names that I have taught you. And Adam had learned. So he had the ability to learn. So Allah Azza wa Jal, when He introduced the humanity and human and insan to this world, He introduced him with this facility of knowledge. He did not say that, oh, this person, he can eat all types of food. He can cook biryani and mansaf and meat. And He did not introduce him in this manner, although He can. He did not introduce him as a creature who can do things, who can build things. We can. Or he can make rockets or planes, or he can bombard the people in Syria and the refugees. He can introduce him that way. This is something that the person can do. He said he can learn. He can learn. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. He taught Adam all the names of everything. And he told the angels, can you do that? He said, no, we can't. سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. All we know is what you inject into us. More than that, we cannot learn. Adam, tell the angels what you have just learned. And then Adam starts repeating the names of things that Allah Azza wa Jal taught him. So this issue of learning and knowledge cannot be underestimated. It's an issue of utmost importance in Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal, when you look at the Quran and you search under the word ilm or alima or ulama, you will find hundreds of ayat, hundreds, not tens, that contains this word ilm or alima or ya'lam or ya'lamun or i'lam. All of these are derivatives of the same word ilm. So that's just to introduce the topic of this issue of knowledge is not something easy. That's not something we can underestimate. It's not something we undervalue. It is something that has very great value. Allah Azza wa Jal put on this issue of ilm. Now, Having said that, Allah Azza wa Jal makes a toll, a heavy toll on those who know and hide the knowledge. I already mentioned that if you know, you can no longer hide behind ignorance. Before I know the rules about riba, I just go and buy a home and finance it with all types of, oh, I didn't know. Brothers, I didn't know. I could have hidden myself or my actions behind ignorance. I don't know. There is someone is making some statements in the masjid, let's say about civil code. Or in the a president comes and says, I want to implement a civil state or a civil code. I don't know what civil code is. I may remain silent. I have the right to remain silent. Actually, in the United States here, they say, you have the right to remain silent. In Islam, you don't have the right to remain silent unless you are ignorant. But if you know, السَّاكِتُ عَنِ الْحَقِّ شَيْطَانٌ أَخْرَصِ. The hadith of the Prophet says, if you know the haqq and you remain silent, you are a shaytan, and not only shaytan, but a shaytan who cannot talk. Bad shaytan. A shaytan who is, you are a shaytan because you hide the facts. And the fact that you cannot talk, that's not excuse. You are akhras, means deaf. You are deaf and you are shaytan. If you know the haqq and you don't speak it, that is not a choice. I don't have the right to remain silent if I know the haqq. In the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Baqarah, He says about the people who understand things. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى. I have revealed something which is clear, some signs, ayat, wahi, and guidance. And some people know that. Some people know the guidance, know the guidelines, know the haqq, know the truth, know the bayinat, know the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, know what is right, what's wrong. مِن بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ. After we have revealed those things in the book, in the Quran, and previously in the Bible, and before that in the Torah, and before that in the Zabur, and before that in Suhuf Ibrahim, Allah Azza wa Jal had revealed them and explained everything in details. And there are people now who know these. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, those who hide the facts, those who ignore the facts, those who cover the facts, they don't make them clear to the people, أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah condemns those people. Allah curses them. وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. And anyone who has the right and the guts and the ability to make curse on them will curse them. You know, sometimes you are looking for a fact. You want to know what's going on in Egypt. What's going on in Syria? What's going on in the world? What's going on in Boston? What's going on in Texas? I want to know. The other day I was watching this video clip. Some guy, I think you did send that video clip, right, Ibrahim, to me, or to one of those things that you send. The guy who uses the bad language.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, all these Fs. The guy is talking in front of YouTube, in front of his camera, and he's cursing. Allah, why are you hiding facts on us? I want to know, he says. Guy kills people in this school. Guys makes bomb in that place. There are people doing all types of things, and you guys know. He says, you media, you know. And there are things which you know. Why you are not telling me? And he was every bad word in the dictionary you could ever think of, he's using that. La'na, this is la'na. That's what Allah Azza wa Jal is saying. يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. Those who hide facts. And the other day I was talking, building a new topic which I really want to talk about. Maybe sometime in the near future we'll come here and talk about it. About this deliberation of the mind. You know, the people talk about liberty a lot, about freedom, and then they claim that the Western civilization has liberated the minds of the people. But then I was thinking, to liberate my mind, you have to bring me facts first. Because what is my mind? My mind is a thinking facility. And for my mind to think, it requires information. It requires knowledge. But if you have the information and the knowledge and you hide part of it, how is it possible that my mind is going to be free? You are not liberating my mind, you are constraining my mind, you are actually locking it up, and you are putting me and forcing me to think only in one direction. And when you hide realities, the other day when the events in Boston took place, the bombing, the first thing the authorities did is they made the area no-fly zone. No one can fly. Now, of course, they were hiding all the facts on the ground, but then for someone to take pictures from above, it's absolutely no-fly zone. No one is supposed to look and see what has happened. Now, of course, now they revealed some things that they want you to see, and they tell you to think about it. That's not thinking. That is hiding the facts. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى. Those who hide, yaktum al-katim, they use the word for the things to deprive you from seeing is katim. Deprive you from hearing something is katim. Depriving you from knowing anything is katim. Katim means I hide absolutely. You are absolutely blacked out. There is a total blackout from the information. You know, after 20 years or 30 years after the Kennedy assassination, anybody looked at the archives when they had this? Oh, they revealed thousands of documents about Kennedy. Thousands of documents, 75% of them are blacked out. You look at it, one line and then whoa, black out. Then you open the page, it's totally blacked out. Second page, then you flip to the third page. There are a couple of sentences. Come on, what's going on? يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. That is all, that's their own. That's their own CIA stuff, they hide it. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal reveals things, reveals knowledge. Allah did not hide anything. Allah did not keep anything that's useful to the humanity and kept it in His lawh al-mahfuz somewhere. He revealed everything. Everything you need. مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Allah says, I did not leave out in this book anything that is useful for you. مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Absolutely none. Everything is there. In fact, sometimes it amazes me how Allah Azza wa Jal puts in the Quran something I say, man, Allah Azza wa Jal could have kept this away to Himself. Why does, I mean, let the people sometimes be aware of some stuff, argumentative type of stuff that allows people to even challenge some information or things that Allah Azza wa Jal makes. That sounds strange, isn't it? Take the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Right? Ibrahim alayhi salam is a prophet, is a messenger. In fact, Allah Azza wa Jal, He talks about Ibrahim in a manner that He did not talk about any other prophet. He says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah took Ibrahim as a friend. Allah, the Creator, He had Ibrahim alayhi salam, so this is my friend. Khalil means a friend. He's absolutely close to Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam, after being a prophet and a messenger, and Allah gives him all of the whatever he needs for providing the guidance to the people, Ibrahim says, God, Allah, my Rabb, I want you to show me how do you create life out of death. قَالَ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. This is a dialogue between Ibrahim and Allah Azza wa Jal. Nobody heard that dialogue. None. We did not hear it. Nobody knew about it. Between Ibrahim and Allah. Now Allah Azza wa Jal tells Ibrahim, أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. Ibrahim, what's happening with you? Didn't you believe? Come on. You are a prophet. You are a messenger. What happened to your belief? Ibrahim continues, oh yes, I do. قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. My heart wants to be at tranquility. I still want to see that. It's a dialogue between Allah and Ibrahim. And shows a certain part of Ibrahim that we didn't even know. Okay, Allah Azza wa Jal shows Ibrahim something and tells him the rest of the story, you know it, you go back to the Quran. But then Allah Azza wa Jal puts it in the Quran. That dialogue He puts it in the Quran that someone is arguing with Allah Azza wa Jal, asking yet for more evidence. Allah did not leave anything in the Quran or in this book, even something that you would think, oh, that is too much. That's too much. But still Allah Azza wa Jal puts it in the Quran. And let the people know about it. Let the people know that they can ask questions. Let the people know that they can require knowledge. And let the people know that they can require knowledge. And they will get the knowledge, and then they will be responsible for it. Let them know. Allah Azza wa Jal did not leave anything. Now comes the people. Allah reveals the knowledge. And then now the people, they say, you know, if I tell the people this thing, oh, they may not like it. The other day I was listening to this guy talking about homosexuality in Islam. I don't even know why he got into that subject if he doesn't want to talk about it the way it should be. So he's talking for 30 minutes and going around the subject, and he cannot even come and say it is something against the nature that Allah Azza wa Jal created people. It's against the instincts that Allah Azza wa Jal created. And it is exactly what Allah Azza wa Jal came, sent prophets and messengers to prohibit those ill behavior and to put the people on the right things. So it is in Islam haram. He can say that. And he wants the people to come and start thinking and scratching their heads. Oh, after all, maybe there is something into it. Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he does not shy away from the haqq. Inna Allah la yastahi min al-haqq. Allah says, I'm not embarrassed of the truth of the haqq. Why should you? And here's a couple of weeks ago, we were in Dearborn. Who was? Nushad was with me, this brother, and some another brother from Chicago. And the guy talks about jihad. Now you are coming to talk about interfaith. Why the heck do you have to talk about jihad when you cannot talk about it? And he says, jihad in Islam is only the jihad, the fighting of the soul. What do you do with all the ayat in Surah At-Tawbah? Today I was listening to Surah At-Tawbah when I was going to Dhuhr prayer on my phone. And then I was saying, man, this guy didn't read this surah. Surah At-Tawbah where it says, قَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ وَيَكُونُ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ قَاتِلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ كَافَّةً. You fight all the mushrikeen because they fight you as one. قاتلوا الذين لا يدينون دين الحق من الذين أوتوا الكتاب والمشركين. Those who do not follow the deen of haq from among the people of the book and the mushrikeen. There has to be a fight. There are many ayats about fights. You don't want to talk about them. Although he doesn't have the right not to talk about them. Because this is ilm. But still, you go into the subject and you hide it. And then the guy who, I also remember the person who made an interview, a congressional hearing, back right after 2001. What's his name?
Jazer. Jazer.
Jazer. No, there is another guy from Egypt. He made a congressional hearing and he said, in Islam there is no jihad, there is no fight. And all of these ayats were metaphor. And he went to jail for that. For misleading the government. Because he made the interview, subhanAllah, it's a laughing issue. I think in 1999, he made the interview and he was so happy about it. After 2001, when things became hard, they brought the guy and they sentenced him, and one of the charges against him, he misled the Congress on the issues of fighting in Islam. You cannot hide things. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed ayat. You cannot hide them. And here Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ. After we have done all things to clear these things in the book, you can't do that. It's not up to you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let me get to this hadith to be now a little bit more specific on these issues. Very interesting hadith. Where it says, Inna unasan min ummati. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking about this case around the situation that we live in. Inna unasan min ummati. There is a group of people from my ummah. Now, the ayah which I recited, it was in relation to the people of the book. That's what they do. And it was a warning, don't do the same. But then here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, among my ummah there will be some people. يَسْتَفْقِهُونَ فِي الدِّينِ. They pretend, they make themselves as if they have fiqh. Fiqh means knowledge of the deen. So they go read. They read, they go to school, to Sharia school. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Azhar, Syria. Put the turban and wear the jubba. They have all the tools. And then every time they walk, they keep like this with this abaya as a sign of knowledge of this fiqh. So they have this abaya keeps falling and then they make it probably purposely the thin one which keeps falling, so they keep putting it. And then the imma, every time they just pay attention, I have it on my head. I don't have it, they have it on their head. يَسْتَفْقِهُونَ فِي الدِّينِ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. They read the Qur'an. Oh, of course, it's easy, it's cheap. وَيَقُولُونَ. And this is what they say, that's the catch. نَأْتِ الْأُمَرَى. We'll go to those leaders, to the kings, to the emirs, presidents. We'll go to their majalis. فَنَصِيبُ مِن دُنْيَاهُمْ. So we'll grab some of the dunya. We'll be given some prizes, food, bonuses, payments, rashwa, call it bribe, whatever. نَصِيبُ مِن دُنْيَاهُمْ. We get something from the dunya. We get a satellite station that carries our turbans. So we'll be always in satellite on a weekly, and then of course paid. You know, sometimes we go to lecture like yesterday's lecture, we pay the people to come. Because we buy the food, we buy everything, we pay. But those guys, they get paid. You know, go to Chicago to some of those events, you have to pay $50, $100, so they call it fundraising, they call it all types of things, and they get thousands of dollars. نَصِيبُ مِن دُنْيَاهُمْ. And then, وَنَعْتَزِلُهُمْ بِدِينِنَا. As far as our deen, we'll keep silent. We're not going to interfere with our deen. وَنَعْتَزِلُهُمْ بِدِينِنَا. وَلَا يَكُونُ كَذَلِكَ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, this is not allowed. لَا يَكُونُ كَذَلِكَ. That will not be the case. كما لا يجتنى من القتاد إلا الشوك كذلك لا يجتنى من قربهم إلا الخطايا. From being close to them, to those emirs, to those presidents, you get only sins. Exactly as when you go to cultivate the land out of the thorny pipe of plants. You go to some land which has not been cultivated properly and there are all types of thorny plants, all type bushes which have no fruits, you start now picking. What do you pick? You pick thorn. You pick thorn, you pick nothing. This is لا يجتنى من القتاد إلا الشوك. This is a saying in Arabic, and the Prophet ﷺ used it. لا يجتنى من القتاد إلا الشوك. From a thorny tree, you get nothing but thorn. And from those amirs, you get nothing but sins, but guilt. ولا يجتنى من القرب منهم إلا الخطايا. From being close to the Amir of Qatar, you give the khataya because you never tell him the truth in front of his face that you are a traitor, that you are selling the Ummah, and that you are selling the Ummah and Gaza for the Israelis and the Jews. You will never say that. And when you are in the presence of Zain al-Abidin bin Ali before he was kicked out, you would say, Islam has never flourished in Tunis except when you were a president. And now when he is out, you say, oh, he should have been thrown out of the throne long time ago. Come on. When the guy is still a king or a president, you tell him, MashaAllah, Islam is on the rise. Qaddafi, he is there. When the Qaddafi has the hundreds of billions of dollars, oh, Qaddafi, you are the king of the kings. You are the best for Islam. Qaddafi is out. Now you say, the man was insane, was crazy, and should have been kicked out. لا يجتنى منهم من قربهم إلا الخطايا. As long as you are close to them, you will be always in sin. Al-Hasan al-Basri, Al-Hasan al-Basri, one of the great scholars of Islam. And he was at the time of Al-Hajjaj. Al-Hajjaj was one of the wali, he's a wali for Bani Umayyah. So he's not the ruler, he is a wali. He's appointed. So Al-Hajjaj is asking Al-Hasan al-Basri. He found Al-Hasan al-Basri. He actually, Al-Hajjaj came to a meeting, to a place where Al-Hasan al-Basri was sitting. Hasan al-Basri says, I never attempted to go into a place where Al-Hajjaj is sitting because he was oppressor. So Al-Hajjaj comes and haunts Al-Hasan al-Basri and he says, oh, I got you, Hasan. I need to ask you a question. And next to Al-Hasan al-Basri, there was another alim. Now I will start now coming into who's alim, who's not. Another person his name is Amir al-Sha'bi. So Amir al-Sha'bi and Al-Hasan al-Basri were in the same setting. So Al-Hajjaj comes and says, oh, Hasan, I want you to tell me exactly what do you think of my rule? What do you think of me? So Al-Hasan al-Basri says, Subhanallah. Do you want me to tell you how oppressive you are? I don't think you deserve that name. Because the oppressive is the one who appointed you in the first place. The one in Damascus who appointed you here, sent you, he is the one who should be nailed down. Leave alone you. You don't even deserve to be called an oppressor because the real oppressor is the one who put you in this place. So Amr al-Sha'bi, now Al-Hajjaj, he left, he didn't do anything. He just left, he wanted to hear something and he has something in his... So Amr al-Sha'bi rushed to Al-Hasan al-Basri and grabs him from the neck. He says, Ya Hasan, why do you have to say that? Wallahi, I thought by the time you opened your mouth that our heads will be chopped off, me and you. Hasan al-Basri tells him, Ya Amir, didn't you read in the Quran the ayah that says, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ وَاشْتَرَوْا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا فَبِئْسَ مَا يَشْتَرُونَ. Didn't you read in the Quran what Allah Azza wa Jal says, that he took a covenant from the people of the book? People of the book does not only mean the Christians and the Jews, although it did apply to them then, but anyone who has the knowledge of the book. You have the knowledge of the book. Allah took the covenant that you have to clearly state it. You have to state. You have to say. لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ. You have to make it clear to the people. وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَ. And you cannot hide it. Didn't you read that, Ya Amr? He said, Wallahi, I read it. But I was afraid for my neck. And then Al-Hasan al-Basri, he teaches Amir al-Sha'bi a lesson. He tells him, no one will die until his day is over. No one will die. No one will lose his life until his time is over. If my time is over, I will die, whether it's I say it or I don't. I better say what is right. There is another occasion. Another occasion. When Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and some of you, they know the story, when the Khalifa al-Ma'mun, at some time, somebody convinced him that saying, let's take a position on the Quran. The Quran is a created being, just like anything else. It's not eternal. So the Ma'mun, he thought that this is an idea that everybody has to carry. So the scholars now, the ulama, they were forced by Al-Ma'mun to take the stand because this is the Khalifa. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he says, I'm not going to follow the Khalifa on this issue. I have my belief what Allah Azza wa Jal taught me. Ahmad bin Hanbal is the Imam. Imam Ahmad. He has a madhab. There is madhab Imam Ahmad. So now Imam Ahmad is in jail. He is in jail. And then one of his companions or students, he approaches him while he was still in jail. He says, Ya Imam, can't you find an excuse or a way to explain it to the Khalifa or to say something that you don't go against your beliefs, but still you don't get the torture, what is called tawriya in Islam. And he reminded him that there was a scholar behind before him who came to the Khalifa, and he told him, okay, I can answer you. He was asking him about the Quran. He says, At-Tawrah, Wal-Injil, Wal-Zabur, and the Quran, for those four things are created by Allah. And he actually, he meant his fingers. So those four things are created. So the Khalifa, he accepted that. Probably he knew that it was Tawriya, but it is acceptable from this guy. He meaning his fingers, those four are created. He mentioned the Quran, the Torah, the Zabur, but he pointed at his finger, so it was okay. So this person telling Imam Ahmed, why don't you do a trick like this? So Imam Ahmed says, tell me what is happening around the fence of the prison. So probably the prison has a fence, it says a high fence. And this student tells Ahmed, he says, there are thousands of people who are waiting there. They have their papers and pencils, and they are waiting to see what Imam Ahmed has to say. They want to write. Then he tells him, do you want Imam Ahmed to say something which is untrue, to save his neck, and to mislead all these people? Wallahi, I will not do that. I'm not going to mislead the people for the sake of my own life. And that's what the ayah would say, يَشْتَرُونَ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. You cannot buy, you cannot purchase. You cannot purchase your own life for the truth. You cannot compromise the truth for your life. This is a alim. So the alim, coming back to this, who is a alim? Alim is not the only one who knows. Knowledge by itself, acquiring the knowledge does not qualify you to be a alim. Imam Ahmed deserved to be a alim because he acquired the knowledge and he was able to transfer it. If you acquire the knowledge and hide it, it's like the one who hoards the money, like hoarding the money. The one who hoards the money, if you go and accumulate billions of dollars and you keep it stashed under your mattress, that's not a rich person. That's a miser. That's a meme. You don't call this person the one who is mustaghni. The one who is ghani, who is rich, the one who really is wealthy, is the one who brings the wealth and he diverts it to somewhere else. You make it a transfer. So you transfer the wealth from one side to another side. You transfer the knowledge. I get the knowledge from the Quran. I take it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I transfer it to the people. That's a alim. I take the knowledge, I hide it, or I twist it. I hide it or I twist it and give it a different flavor. That's not a alim. That's not a alim. Al-alim in Islam, alim is a term. It's a terminology. It's not only a linguistic word. Linguistically, ilm means knowledge. If I acquire knowledge, so I acquire knowledge. But to qualify to be a alim, a scholar, you must have the quality of having the ilm, the knowledge, and being able to transfer it to the people the way it is. Not only the way it is, but the way the people can understand it. Because that's the purpose of a alim. Now, I studied computer engineering, you studied physics, he studied education, he studied medicine. My role now, because I spent, let's say, 6, 7, 10 years in studying, my role is to bring this knowledge, transfer it to the people in a manner they can use it. I simplify it, I explain it, I give more examples. That means I am alim. Or I apply it so the people can benefit from it. But if I take the ilm from my teachers, from my professors, and then I twist it, I hide it. Why do I hide it? For many reasons. Some of it because if I say the truth, someone is not going to like it. Maybe there is another scholar who thinks that I am competing with him, and he will undermine my position, so I'll be quiet. Or maybe there is a ruler who doesn't like me to transfer the knowledge to the people, because if I transfer the knowledge to the people, then they will revolt. If I bring to the people the knowledge, an ayah from the Quran where it says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Anyone who does not rule with what Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed is a kafir. Of course, the king is not going to like that. And those who are the agents of the king will not like that. I still remember, sometimes I bring some cases, personal incidents, which makes things a little bit more clear. First session I attended in Champaign-Urbana University of Illinois when I went to school. So I came as a new student, new graduate student. They tell me the MSA is having a session at the university. Well, subhanAllah, that's good. So I go there and I listen, sit there and listen. The brothers are talking about hadiths and about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and issues about the jama'ah and the necessity to be within a jama'ah, which is good. Oh, to work with the jama'ahs, it's perfect. But then there is a hadith about the jama'ah, which the guy, he took the hadith and he did not complete it. There is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man faraqa al-jama'ah, whoever leaves the jama'ah, does not stay with jama'ah, laqiya Allah la hujjata lah, on the day of judgment, he will have no excuse. Perfect. This is part of a hadith. But then there is yet another part of the hadith. And I was waiting. Would the brother mention, complete the hadith? He never did. I thought maybe he forgot. So they opened the floor for discussions. Of course, we are all students. We are all peers. So no one supposedly is a scholar. So I tell the brother, I thought there is yet another part of the hadith which says, وَمَنْ مَاتَ وَلَيْسَ فِي عُنُقِهِ بَيْعَ مَاتَ مِتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً. And who, if you die without a bay'ah, without allegiance, then your death is also jahiliyyah. That's part of the same hadith. Did you forget that? He says, no, I didn't forget about that, but that's not our subject. But that's part of the hadith. Then the brother tells me later, brother, you are still new here. We don't want to bring these issues of controversy. But the Prophet brought it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it, why do you hide it? Oh, because if you bring it up, there is a mukhabarat here, a mukhabarat there, people will report us. Come on. If you want to be worried about who's going to report you, don't sit in the place where you talk about hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the alim, the title alim, is the one who acquires the knowledge, and transfers it to the people. The way it is. The only thing you can do with it is to explain it in a manner to the people so they can understand it. Because sometimes, like this hadith, which says, لا يجتنى من القتاد إلا الشوك. You don't get out of the qatad is a thorn. Many people, who knows what's al-qatad here, those Arabs, al-Arab. من بيعرف شو يعني القتاد؟ مر علي القتاد. تعرف القتاد؟ بس عمرك مر عليك كلمة اوكي. So, even those we are the Arabs. So I go to the dictionary, part of my work, I look al-qatad, شجرة شوك, is a tree which grows only thorn. So now, when I use this hadith, the only thing I can do is to say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant that you don't get out of a thorny tree except thorn. And al-qatad means a thorny tree. That is explaining the hadith. But I cannot hide it simply so, oh, the people may not understand, that's why I better not say it. I am not a alim then if I do that. Or, if I leave the other part, which says, كَمَا لَا يُجْتَنَى مِنْ قُرْبِهِ مِنْ الْخَطَايَا, and by getting close to the emirs, to the leaders, except sins, say, oh, I'm not going to say that, because the King Abdullah may not like it. Or the scholars who sit with King Abdullah, they will hate it. And therefore, if they see me on a minbar, they will deprive me from going and talking to the people. I'm not going to do that. I cannot do that. It's haram to do that. And if I do it, I am not a alim. Brothers, sometimes people measure the alim by the amount of books he writes. Only recently, the guy who was killed in Syria, البوطي, شيخ البوطي, He has more than 25 major books on Sirah, and probably hundreds of articles and booklets. If you measure the people by the amount of books they write, and the amount of lectures they give, or the number of degrees they have, well, of course, Iblis then becomes the biggest tyrant. Iblis, he knows facts. In fact, he knows things which we don't know. And the Quran actually talks about him, with those people who took Iblis as their ally, and then at the time when he pushed people into fight against the Haqq, he told them, "Inni ara ma la tarawna inni akhafu Allah." I see what you guys don't see. I know things which you don't know. And I am afraid of Allah. Iblis says that. So it's not the amount of knowledge or things that he knows. He knows. But then what does he do with that knowledge? I'm not going to bow down to this you created, Adam. I'm not going to listen to you. And I'm going to challenge you and your people and your prophets and messengers. And I don't care about your Jannah or Jahannam. That's Iblis. So now going back to this Al-Buti of Syria, he has tremendous amount of publications on Islam. But when it comes to those leaders, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, what does he get out of Bashar al-Assad? Being close to Bashar and saying that our war against the revolutionary is a jihad. And any one of those people of Homs and Aleppo and Damascus who die and kill, these are the fuel of Jahannam. And any one of the Bashar people who are dead, they are shaheed. That's twisting the, reversing the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I was hesitant even to mention this subject about Buti until I listened to this Sheikh Muhammad al-Sabuni, one of the those people who wrote some tafsirs the other day. And he was crying. He says, we hope that one person with this amount, vast amount of knowledge of Islam, to be on the side of Islam at least one day. But we couldn't get him to be on the side of Islam, not for a single moment. And when Hafiz died, the father of Bashar, he was on the janazah and he was on top of the head of Hafiz until they put him in his last place of burial. And then the Sabuni, he quoted a hadith about those who are close to the people, to the oppressors when they die. I even forgot the hadith that he wrote, that they are really, will be buried just like their burial. They just go with them in the same place. So the scholar, now scholar is a bad translation of alim. Don't translate the word alim, just keep it as is, alim. Because scholar is a secular word that has some definitions in language.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sirah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com, as well as rate, review of iTunes.